Okay? Are we clear on that? And there are many scriptures like Matthew. Again, I said it last week. I couldn't remember if it was Matthew 5 or 6. I'm going to look it up this time so I can tell you. There are some scriptures that give us a real good idea of what it is that's going to be judged on that day. Yeah, it is Matthew chapter 6, where it talks about if you do your charitable deeds, don't do it so that men can see you do those charitable deeds. He says, for then I tell you, you already have your reward. That's it. That little pat on the back you got your reward. But he says, when you do a good deed, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He's saying, just do it, you know, incognito, so to speak, not for the praise of man. Do it because you love the Lord. You want to bless his people. And he says, when that fire comes down from the throne on that day, that part will stay. Your motivation was pure. It was good. Now I'm going to give you another scripture to kind of prove this out. I did not use last week, and it's 1 Corinthians 9:4. I believe it is. No, it's 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5. And let me go ahead and turn to that with me, if you would, if you have your Bibles with you, because I want you to see this. This is one scripture, and this is going to be rare for you to hear what I'm about to say, so enjoy this one. I actually like the translation of the NIV on this one. Yes. So 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. All right, so what we will tend to do is we judge other people and we judge their works. And he says, don't do that. Don't judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. That's what the King James says. That's the New King James says. But the Greek word is actually boule. So he's going to judge the boule of our heart. I kind of like that word. And the boule of your heart is the motivation. It's really what the Greek word is saying. It's the advice that your heart gives you. That's why it says here, the counsel of your heart. The motivation of your heart. It says very clearly right here, that's what the Lord is going to judge. The motivation of your heart. Okay? Now, let me say this also. This is just a review, so I'm pretty much done talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Let me just say this about it. That even though it is called a judgment, and that can sound very scary, and I told you last week, this is kind of a heavy deal. And it is, because there's a responsibility that falls on us with this. And a lot of people don't like that. They don't want that responsibility. But, you know, if you really are going to be a part of the family of God, you better wake up to responsibility, because we have a heavy responsibility here on the earth. But it's a beautiful thing. Responsibility is... it is actually, well, I don't want to go into this. I don't want to be teaching on that. It is just the word of God that this is a reality, that we have a responsibility on us to do good works. It says that we were created in Christ Jesus. This is Ephesians 2:10. Starting in verse 8, it says, you know, you were saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. We weren't saved through works, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So we can't boast about the fact that we were saved. Hey, I got saved because I'm holy. There's no boasting, because it had nothing to do with our works. And then the next verse says, but we were created, is that up? Yeah, we are his workmanship. Remember, that's what I was saying. It's the work of Jesus Christ that has caused us to be saved. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. That's our part. We don't do works in order to gain salvation. Jesus did the work for our salvation. Now, because we are saved, we do good works. Do you understand the difference? We don't do works in order to earn a position with God. But because we have a position with God that he granted us, our heart should just explode with gratitude, appreciation, and love. And out of that position of gratitude, appreciation, and love, we do good works. And it says that there are good works that God has already prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's already prepared ahead of time particular works that each and every one of us are to do. So what do? We need to seek the Lord to find out what those works are. There's two things we do side by side. We seek the Lord to find out what it is He's called us to do and get started doing something. Get the wheels turning. Just find yourself something to get involved in, and you will find the heart of God directing you. As it's been said, the Lord cannot direct a parked car, right? Get the wheels turning and watch the Lord begin to speak to you. Now, you'll find that there are certain things you don't care to do. That's okay. Don't beat yourself up for it. When you find you can think about different things and you can find something that does interest you, that's a strong indication that that might be down the area of which the Lord is calling you something because His grace is on you. For example, I don't really care much for ministry. And that's going to sound bad, but I don't minister like the street people. I've tried it. It doesn't work for me at all. I mean, there's nothing in me that likes that program. And, you know, I could feel really bad about it. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that I love to do other people want nothing to do with. But there's a grace on me to do those other things. And there isn't a grace on me to do that. But there's other people who love to minister to the people in the streets. You know, and there's all kinds of other outreaches. I'm not going to be able to do them all. And I don't condemn myself for it, and neither should you. But find what it is your heart does have a beat for. There's a strong indication right there. That's the hand of God on you. That's His grace. You'll find a motivation to do particular work. So we want to be seeking those things out and get involved in them. Amen? Now, another thing I want to say about that day, when I was talking about, you know, it can be kind of a fearful thing thinking of it as judgment. Let me just say this. There are many scriptures that talk about that day. And even though it is a judgment, it really is going to be one of the most glorious days of our entire life. It is not something to fear. The Bible gives us numerous scriptures that say on that day we will be given crowns and rewards. All it is it's a day that will determine how many rewards you get. But it's a day that will be glorious for everyone. We will go before the Lord and receive the rewards of our work here on the earth. And some are going to receive a lot more rewards than others, but we all are going to get rewards. And we're all going to receive, at minimum, the crown of righteousness. The Lord, on that day, is going to crown you with the crown of righteousness. So at minimum, you're going to receive that because that was His work and it's guaranteed. All right. But the Bible says there's many other crowns, diadems, rewards that we will receive on that day. So it's really a glorious day. What I'm trying to encourage all of us to do is just to understand that day is coming. Now, I mentioned last week about my particular opinion is that day is coming very soon, that the Lord is coming. And I know some people, you know, don't really like that. I'm taking offense to the fact that I even mentioned that the Lord's coming soon, saying that the scriptures, you know, don't really give room for that, making those kind of predictions. Let me just tell you, that is not my take on the scriptures. I know a lot of people think that the Bible says we don't know when the Lord is coming. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we should know the times and the seasons of His coming. We'll know when it's near. The only thing it says we will not know is what? The day and the hour. Did anybody hear me say the day and the hour that He was coming? Okay. I did not violate Scripture. Now, let me also make this point. That, when I talked about Him, I believe He's coming in a matter of years and not decades. That is Brad Ettore's opinion. All right, I'm going to make that abundantly clear. That is not this church's opinion. It's not the leadership's opinion. That is my opinion. So I don't know if I made that really clear last week. Let me just make that clear now. So, and I want to say this. I'm not convinced. I feel very strongly about it, but I am not 100% convinced about that. I don't really care. I don't care if it's 10 years or 110. I just am excited about end time stuff. I study it a lot. So as a result of that, I've formed some opinions. I've received some things that I believe are revelations from the Lord that have formed my opinions. But even then, even the stuff the Lord has given me did not pin it down to some kind of a day and an hour or anything close to that whatsoever. There's room for interpretation of what I receive from Him. You know what I'm saying? But current events, what the Bible teaches in Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelations, Matthew 24, coupled with current events, etc., I am of the opinion that it's probably going to be sooner than later. But I really don't know it for sure. It's just what I think. Okay? All right, amen. So now, What I said I was going to talk about this week, that was a brief summary. That was an overview of last week. Now what we're going to talk about this week, what? Oh. Was that like the rapture alarm going off over there? Okay. Let me just look at my notes here for a second. All right. So I talked last week about that there's going to be a judgment, there's going to be rewards, there's going to be a judgment of our works here on the earth, and now what I want to talk about is how do we prepare for that day? If what we're going to be judged by is the motivation of our heart, did we ever put that scripture up there, which was 1 Corinthians 4:5? I know I reread it, but I don't know if it was up there, but it says specifically he's going to be judging us for the motivation of our heart. Matthew chapter 6 says he's going to be judging us on that day, or that our rewards are going to be based on the works that we did. Are they from good motivations? And what is that motivation? There's really only two motivations of the heart, and that is love and selfishness, or you could say self-centeredness. That's really all we have. We always act out of one of those two areas. Now, we could say, no, you can do stuff out of pride, or you do stuff out of anger. You know, those are subcategories of self-centeredness. It's still selfishness. Or we do things because we want to bless someone, or we're just trying to, because we love the Lord, etc. That's going to be out of love. You understand? There's really only two categories. There's subcategories under each one of those, but everything we do it either out of love or we do it out of selfishness. When we attack our spouse or someone in the grocery store or et cetera, we're doing that really out of selfishness because we feel like maybe they offended us and, you know, God forbid somebody offend me. So we become self-centered and we act out of that. Whereas what the Bible teaches us to do, even when we're offended, it says to return love, absorb it. Love absorbs it. And when we do something like that, which is a sacrifice, we take the hit and we just say, I'm just going to love this person anyhow. Jesus says that is what we're going to be judged for on that day. And we will receive a reward for that. So what I want to say to you is this is how we prepare ourselves for that day. How do we prepare for the judgment seat of Christ? We do it by walking the love walk. That's what this whole thing is about. It's learning to walk in the love of God. Jesus says, there's a lot of scriptures that bear this out. Let me just give you a couple. Romans 5:5. First of all, well, no, I don't want to start there. Sorry, Louie. Let's start with Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Now, this is what the Bible calls the great commandment or the first commandment. Can anyone tell me what the first commandment is? Very good. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus, now he was being questioned by the Pharisees. They were trying to snag him. They say, Lord, Master, Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment of all? And the Lord was gracious to them because he's acting in love. And he answered them, even though he knew what was in their heart. And he answered them, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, and the second is like it, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, these are the greatest of all commandments. Matthew, picking up on that same event, records it slightly different. And it says that upon these hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. At another time, Jesus was questioned about this and they said, well, who's your neighbor? Again, just trying to snag him. And Jesus gives the parable of what? The Good Samaritan. And he talks about this man that was beaten, robbed, and left for dead on the side of the road. And guess who walked by and did nothing? The religious folk. And then someone who was not even a religious person came by and picked the man up, loved on him, clothed him, took care of him. And of course, this made the religious people very angry at Jesus telling the story because, you know, we're the religious folk. You're putting us down. Jesus was addressing the heart. The heart of religion is not good. A religious spirit is not good. Walking around trying to look pious is not good. What does matter? What is good? It's a heart of love. And he reached down and picked up this man and took care of him. Jesus said, that's what I'm talking about. Doing what love does. Now, here comes a struggle, because immediately we start to think, I don't know if I've got that. I don't know if I can love like God wants us to love. Well, first of all, let me just tell you this. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. How many of you are doing that? I know I'm not. I know I never have. Even though I really want to, I'm failing miserably at it. Is there anyone else in here that joins me in that? And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. I can tell you, there's a lot of people in here I could say I love, but I'm not loving you like I love myself. I know that. I fall way short on that one too. So I'm already failing on the first two. And, you know, I just, my guess is there's probably no one in this room who's doing either one of those verses perfectly. It's a tall order. Now, do you think God knows this? Do you think he's aware of it? Yes. Now, listen, God does not call us to do anything that he doesn't give us the ability to do. So the ability is there. Now, here's what I'm going to minister on. I'm going to talk about how to walk in love in 5 minutes or less. All right, so this is going to be really tough, but I had a whole bunch of scriptures to give you. I'm not going to be able to do it, but let me just give you a couple of scriptures to write down. You can look at them later, and then I'm just going to flow, okay? Romans 5:5. This one I would like up, if you can put this one up, Louie. Very good. Man, this guy is on it. Okay, so Romans 5:5 says this. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the love of God is in you right now, and it's in me. So, to say, I really don't have that love is not true. It is a lie. You do have the love. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the first and the number one secrets. I don't know if I want to call it a secret, but the greatest, I'll just call it a secret. The greatest secret to being able to walk in love is this, waking up to the reality that you have the love of God on the inside of you. Because the great deception of the enemy is to tell you, you can't do it. Who are you? You know how you act, you old rotten scoundrel, you. You know, and how you treat your spouse, and how you treat your boyfriend and your girlfriend and your brothers and your sisters, etc. And he brings up all this stuff, and we cave to it. We say, yeah, man, I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do this. We need to wake up to who we are in Christ. If we recognize the love of God is in us, the first thing that will begin to change is your mindset about your ability. You can do it. If you know that the love of God is on the inside of you, you have the ability. Every single one of us have the ability. It's in us. Okay, so how do we tap into this? Well, the first thing is, like I'm saying here, is you need to really believe this. You need to get this. So meditate on that scripture and know that it's there. If you have, every one of us here has a particular financial picture, whatever it is, in your life right now, good, bad, indifferent, ugly, you know where you are. You know how much money you have in the bank. You're either broke, you're doing well, you're somewhere in the middle, whatever. You've got a financial picture. You know what it is, right? So you already have this mindset about where you are financially. And you have a certain degree of security, insecurity, you know, fear or lack thereof based on your financial picture. And it's just your... it's your world. You don't really think about it so much consciously, but it's just there. You have a mindset about your financial picture. What if you received a phone call today or a letter in the mail that lets you know about a distant aunt that you didn't know about who was incredibly wealthy? She inherited from her dad $100 million. And there's four siblings, and she just split it all amongst the four siblings within your family. You're one of them, and you just inherited $25 million. And this is real. You know it's real, all right? You got all the documentation, whatever. It's a done deal. You know it's a fact. Do you think your mindset would change about your financial picture? do you think you'd kind of begin to even feel a little different? You would just begin to recognize different emotions, and, you know, I mean, and you know what? The only thing that changed was information. You're still the same person. Nothing really changed about you, but some information changed about what you possess, and it gives you a different mindset. And what I'm trying to say here is if we get from the Word of God what really happened at salvation, and you recognize, and I recognize what we possess on the inside of us, it will transform your mind and your ability to love. When you recognize, wait a minute, I really can love like God because His love is on the inside of me. You've got to believe that or you're dead in the water to begin with. You can't even, you're not even going to get going. You can't get in first gear. You've got to know it's there. All right? So that scripture is one of many that tells you you have it. Another one is the fact that Jesus commands you to love everybody. He commanded me and He commanded you to love everyone. That is John 13:34 is one scripture that says that. This new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now listen to this. As I have loved you, that you love one another. I mean, you think, okay, great. I was failing at the first and the second commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. You're like, cool, maybe I can do this one. And then He says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, there goes all hope out of that one, right? So it's another one, but yet He says to do it. Now get this. If Jesus said, do it, you can do it, and I can do it. But that's what this whole life is about, learning how to walk that walk. But you know, if many of us haven't even gotten started, and what I'm trying to do today is to stir us up to get rolling on this program, the love walk. God has called us to it, and we've got to do it. And it's really done in very small ways. Don't look for big, grandiose acts of love. It's done in very small ways. It's done with that person, that mechanic, who, you know, gave you some bad information and now it's going to cost you $225 you weren't expecting, etc., whatever. Instead of firing, you know, lighting that guy up. Or that person that you live with who did that thing one more time. You know, let me just tell you two of the key things, two of the main characteristics of God's love. The first one is patience. We must begin to practice and exercise patience. Another word for this is long-suffering. This is something that is really passed over like it's really not that big of a deal. And what I want to encourage you to think about is that it's really far more important than we realize. Patience gives room for God to work in you and through you. When we're patient, when someone does that thing that just fires you up, if we will just hold on, just hang on, say nothing, just give room, just be patient. Instead of that instant reaction like, you know, we just want to jump right back at them, if we simply hold our tongue, hold back, just give time, be long-suffering, let them do it again, let them do it again, let them do it again, and let them do it again, and just be patient. This gives opportunity for the Holy Spirit to begin to work in you and through you with that person. You know what else it does? What else does it give them room to do? Work in them. Exactly. So patience is the first step. I'm trying to do this quick. I'd like to really build on that because it's very important. But the second thing is kindness. We must show kindness to everybody. Kindness is a characteristic of God that is in you. It's in your heart. Jesus said, love everybody. Now, if love was a feeling, that would be an impossible commandment. And this is where we get, this is another area we get tripped up in this love walk. We think love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. It has nothing to do with feeling. If He said, if love was a feeling and He said, I command you to love everyone, then He would be commanding us to have a particular feeling towards everybody. And that's impossible. But He did not say that. He said to love everyone. And the love is not a feeling. What love is a decision. It's an act of the will. And what he's saying is, I am commanding you to act a particular way towards everybody. And what he's telling us to do is be long-suffering. Be patient towards everybody. And the second thing he says is be kind to everybody. If we are not doing this, we can do great works for God. But if they're not out of love, we will suffer a loss on that judgment day. All of it will be wiped out. It does not matter how good you were, how many ministries you supported, how much money you gave to the poor, how many Bible studies you taught, how many chairs you straightened up, how many floors you vacuumed, how many toilets you cleaned. It does not matter what you and I do. If we're not doing it with a motivation of love, if we're doing it to be seen by men or for any other motivation that is not love-based, we will lose the rewards for it. And, you know, it's not the whole thing isn't just so we can have great rewards in heaven. It's because we want to be a blessing to the Lord. We further the kingdom of God when we walk in the love of God. What we're supposed to be are reflections of Jesus in the earth. When we learn this love walk, what we are doing is we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And when people see that, they see Christ, and they're going to want to know more about your life. How is it that you're the way that you are? You know, you come in here all the time, and every one of the other employees are always complaining about everything, but you're just always just happy. You're full of joy. You know, I've chewed your head off many times. You never fire back at me. You're kind. You're patient. I can't believe how patient you are with me. When people see that, it is a witness of Jesus Christ in our life. And we can do it. The love of God is in us, and we can do this. There's another verse of scriptures, but I'm just gonna say them to you. I want you to just listen. So I don't want them on the screen. I want you to read out your Bible. I just want you to listen to these verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. If I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I give all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I mean, that's heavy. That's describing a spiritual heavyweight. Someone who has the gift of prophecy, understands all mysteries, all understanding, all knowledge, has faith to speak to mountains and cast them into the sea. It profits him or her nothing if they are not motivated by love in every act that they do. And then the next couple verses says this, or the next couple words says this. It begins to describe what love is. Love suffers long. That word means is patient. Love suffers long and is kind. We have to begin to practice this. And let me tell you what will happen. The more we practice it, put it into practice. That situation comes up, you're ready to fire at the person. Just know, okay, that's acting out of selfishness, this side of my heart. I don't want to do that. I'm going to draw from the love of God. I'm just going to, as an act of my will, I am not going to fire back at this person. I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to be kind. You know, love doesn't just say, well, I'm going to be kind, but really, I've got you pegged, man. You are a no good. That's also not love. I'm just not going into describing the whole thing. But love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love believes the best about people. Know that the love of God is in them too. And help draw it out of them. This whole thing is not just for us. We need to win people to Christ. We need to help other Christians along, being examples and representing the love of Christ to them. The other thing is forgiveness. We've got to walk in 100% of forgiveness 100% of the time. We must forgive. This also is a commandment. It's not a suggestion of the Lord. It's a commandment. We must forgive all people at all times for all things. And I think there's two things that at least they help me that are good to remember at all times to kind of help us through all of this. Two things to remember. One is no one is perfect, including you and me. Right? Just remembering that when you're dealing with people, nobody is perfect, including you and including me. The second thing is to remember that the Lord died for them. The Lord died for that person that's chewing your head off right now. He died for them. He's in love with them. You know, I don't know if that helps you. It's something that's helped me for years. It just helps me to draw on the love of God to be able to love people. You know, Chrissy, when she came up here, she was talking about something she saw, which was those shackles. And that really blessed me because I was thinking about this whole thing that the Lord has been revealing to me over the years. And it's something, I've talked about that mindset, changing that mindset. Understanding that the love of God is on the inside of us and we can draw this out. When we get that revelation, it's literally just like those shackles. We think we can't do this. I just have a particular temperament. I just can't help myself. What we're doing is we're acting out of our flesh. We think we're bound by this particular bent or personality type that we have. And what I'm trying to tell you is that from the Word of God that we had up there, Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The reality is those shackles you think you have around you that confine you to how you act are really a deception from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy. We can step out of that and realize I'm in the love of God. I have the love of God in me. I can walk this out. Jesus said, they will know you by your love. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he says, and all will know that you are my disciples by your love. He's telling us it's there. Step into it. We can walk in this love. Amen? So on that judgment day, to the degree that we do this, if we walk in this love, we can start the love walk now. If you haven't already started, start now. Start practicing it. Knowing this is what we're going to be judged for. Not how many good things we did, but how we walk those out. How we treated other people every day of our lives. And when we find a motivation our heart is wrong, don't condemn yourself for it. Call on God, the Holy Spirit that's within you, to control that. Pull it back and say, I choose instead to walk in love. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to believe all things. And just do it. Here's what will happen. I can tell you, I've grown, you know, in this area. I have a long way to go, but I've exercised this. I've practiced this. I've watched it happen in my own life. That if you will practice it, it literally starts taking over you. You start to become this new person. If you will exercise patience, if you will exercise kindness towards people, you will find it gets easier and easier. It starts to become the real you. You know, we think that we're a hypocrite. I just want to close it with this. We think we're a hypocrite when we act lovingly and yet we're feeling differently. All right, I want to dispel this lie from hell. That is not being a hypocrite. That's being true to who you really are. When we act ugly, that is being a hypocrite. Because a hypocrite is acting out something that you're not, right? The Bible says who you are. So what's true, what you think or what the Bible says? What I think or what Jesus says? He says, I'm His. And that His Spirit dwells within me, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. The Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. The Bible says that I've been made perfect and righteous in the eyes of God. So when I act differently than that, towards people, I am playing a hypocrite. So the enemy wants you to believe the opposite. He says, you're acting like a hypocrite when you act all lovey-dovey. Well, you need to realize that's a lie from hell. He's telling you that because he doesn't want you doing this. But what we need to realize is I need to stop acting like a hypocrite and act like the child of God that I am. So I'm going to put my feelings down. My feelings don't dictate me. I dictate them. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to act what the Lord tells me to do. I'm going to be long-suffering, and I'm going to be kind to this person. And I'm going to think good thoughts towards them. Control your thoughts. Think good thoughts. Now, here's what will happen. An interesting thing about feelings. Feelings are like a little red wagon. You hang on to that thing. They will follow you wherever you go. If you will do what love does, the feelings of love will follow, I promise you. It's what the Word of God teaches. They will come. They may not be instantaneous, but they will come. Most of us put that red wagon in front of us. And, you know, if you try and do a rack wagon that way, it's like going all over the place. We're being led by our feelings. Well, if I feel love, I'll act a certain way towards you. If I don't, bless God, you're going to get my wrath. We let our feelings control us. And what the Lord is teaching us from the Word is put that red wagon in its right place, which is behind you. That wagon of feelings, right? Act in a way of love. Do what I tell you to do. Be long-suffering and be kind. And watch what happens. My love will come forth. If they curse you, if they treat you spitefully, what does he say to do for those people? Pray for them. Right? Bless them. Why? Because it's a love act. And what will happen is your heart will change towards them. God will continue. You know, we have to, what we're doing is we're giving place for the love of God to germinate in our heart and grow and become bigger and bigger and bigger and consume us. But we've got to start the process. We've got to give place with patience and with kindness. We give place to the love of God to grow in our heart and consume us and overtake us and make us just like Him. Amen? When we do this, we will fare much better on that judgment day. Believe me. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for the love that is in our hearts. We can walk in this. We can step into it, Father God. Father, I pray for the sealing by your Spirit of this Word in our hearts today, Father God, that it is not lost and is not snatched by the wicked one, Father, but is sealed by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Joshua.
Thank you, Brad. Go ahead and stand. We're going to just close. Father, we just believe that we're going to walk out of this place with a grace on us to be able to walk in the reality that you've already poured love out upon us. So let that grace be upon us today, in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful Sunday and a great week. And a great fast, anyone who's joining.